This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Where the line between neighbor and nightmare is razor thin. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring former prosecutor and defense attorney Eric Faddis.
The Menendez brothers will have their day in court, but not as soon as everyone was thinking. It's not going to be a white Christmas or a free Thanksgiving or anything like that for them. They will be behind bars for it. Coming up in late January 30th and 31st, they are going to be in Los Angeles District Court and finding more out about what the next steps may or may not be to their release. Attorney Eric Faddis, former prosecutor, joining me. What do you think is going to happen here? We got a new AG coming in. It's not as just clear-cut as maybe a lot of us thought it might be. There's still a lot of hoops. Some of those hoops seem to have fire in them.
Yeah, you know, I think the way this is trending is I think it's really trending towards some way to release these folks. Now, is that going to be like changing the sentence such that they get credit for time served and they're done? Is that going to be dismissing the case? I don't think it's going to be dismissing the case. But, you know, are there sort of legal maneuvers that can be put in place to release these guys? Yes. And I think we're going in that direction.
If they were tried today with everything that somehow we amazingly know about abuse in 30 years, which I think we knew about back then, but we just had our heads in the sand. Would it be the same outcome today if they were tried today on this very same thing?
I think they'd have a much better shot today at being acquitted because, like you sort of alluded to, more people understand child sex abuse. They understand that it happens to boys, that can be perpetrated by fathers. Whereas back in the day, that was just so taboo that no one even wanted to begin to accept it. So I think they'd have a better shot now. But I still think there are some potential problems with just saying, you know, anyone who claims they were abused could just kill somebody.
Yeah, without a doubt. Does this case have the potential to reopen a lot of other cases from that time period where maybe someone did try to argue that or maybe were not allowed to argue that, as in this case, that wasn't even allowed to be brought up in court on that second trial just because of societal changes?
I think absolutely. And I'm sure that there are appellate lawyers who are already, you know, generating motions for new trials and that sort of thing. There could be a cascading effect. If these Menendez brothers are released, you know, you could revisit, you know, countless cases in which the defendant claims that they were abused and that was the primary reason that they committed the murder. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but would those folks get the same positive outcome that the Menendez brothers might get? I think that's less likely.
Yeah, that's true. I think they have some fame on their side. And really, for the most part, in prison, just exemplary behavior. They've helped people. They've gone on to live as productive of a life as you can in prison. I'm sure that also helps for the parole board's choosing on this. What are some of the biggest hurdles that you see for them still before they actually get out, if they get out, to reach that freedom?
Well, like you said, there's a new prosecutor coming in. So the old prosecutor, he seemed to be pretty darn receptive to a possible resentencing or something that led to the Menendez brothers' release. The new prosecutor, you know, prosecutors don't want to look soft on crime. Now, this is L.A., and they might, you know, want to appear compassionate in the same vein. But could the new prosecutor take a look and say, whoa, there's a new sheriff in town, and I'm not with what the old DA was saying, and I'm not going to let these guys out. That's entirely possible.
Let's say for some reason this doesn't happen. They don't get out. Somewhere along the line, somebody says, nope, you're going back in. Do they have more recourses? Is this just kind of an endless battle of let's keep petitioning to, or is it like, oh, you've run out of attempts now?
As far as I can tell, I'm not sure how many more options they would have if this one doesn't work. Mm-hmm. That they've exhausted their state appeals. I know that they've have at least one federal appeal, and I think that they're on like a habeas corpus basis for this federal status right now. But yeah, at some point, you run out of chances. You don't get to go back just every couple years and say, "Hey, I've got another good new argument. Hey, listen to me. Courts are going to shut the door."
Yeah, it's going to be fast. What's your opinion on this as an attorney? Do you think they're going to get through these hoops and be out, or do you think the other way that maybe this is not going to go in their favor?
I think they're likely to be released. I think there is just so much social momentum and pressure from documentaries and social media and everything like that. That is we're really seeing those avenues having an effect inside the courtroom. And so I think that effect in this case is going to be their release.
That's an interesting thing, because that's a relatively new concept. I mean, there's always been, like made for TV movies and things like that, but we've never had this world of this social pressure where you have the keyboard warriors and everything all getting together and going after one cause. That does weigh quite a bit on the court system. Obviously, in the court, it's up to the jury and it's up to the judge to figure out what's going to be going on. But the pressure and the way that some of these cases have been reopened oftentimes now stems from podcasts and it stems from documentaries. How did we get here? And why? And why do those sort of avenues of exposure have such an impact?
Yeah, I think back in the day, if you got 1,000 people protesting at the courthouse or 1,000 people protesting at jail, that's something. But it's not someone doing a social media post, condemning what the courts did, and it goes out to 15 million people. Mm-hmm. I just think the reach now of normal everyday people like you and me expressing how they feel about something can really reach folks who are decision makers. Whereas in the past, it was just kind of there was a disconnect. It would be hard for someone in that position to do that. And so I think that, social media has allowed that reach. It's sort of given or amplified some voices that would not have been amplified before. And that amplification is resulting in pressure that's resulting in change.
Good thing or a bad thing that we have this as part of our society now? Because, in some cases, it can be a very positive thing. In others, it can be a very bad thing, especially if people's opinions might be wrong.
It's totally an important question, because I even think back to my own experience with the Free Britney movement for a while. And I was on board with that, man. So she was under a conservatorship, and there were allegations that they were, not letting her use her own money and really keeping under lock and key. And I said, gosh, that sounds wrong. She's an adult. She should be able to do what she wants. And so then and that social media pressure led to the conservatorship being eliminated. Well, since then, there have been some people really concerned for Britney Spears' safety. And a lot of people are kind of second guessing, hey, was the Free Britney movement the right movement to get behind?
People, I think, too quickly like to think everyone is in wonderful, perfect mental health and nothing can possibly be wrong with them if they're a celebrity. Britney Spears, after the conservatorship ended, she ended up being a TikTok star who dances naked with knives. Probably not the best of career moves, and probably not in the best mental state. That's why there are conservatorships, because not everybody is in a great mental state to survive and go on. And quickly thinking, let's free her from this, probably wasn't the best idea.
Yeah, I know. It's easy, because especially with social media, there's this feeling of righteousness for some folks. Like my view matters, and I'm getting behind something that matters, and it feels really good. But sometimes you're not privy to all of the information. Sometimes you're not aware of unintended consequences that can come from that. And so I think we've got to be more cautious as a society than to just get behind any movement that seems attractive on social media. And that especially goes for the youth who are particularly susceptible to that.
Yeah, you don't see a whole lot of Free Britney people. I mean, other than yourself, who just, you said what you thought, coming out later now and saying, oh, maybe I was wrong. They've all moved on. It's like, okay, they did their damage. They got her free. And they're on to the next thing.
Yeah, exactly. There's not going to be like some was made, that the people are not going to get wise to a person coming to a realization that they may have been in the wrong. Like I said, people just move on. No one's going to post a video of, oh, I shouldn't have been behind the Free Britney movement. If it did, maybe it'll get 100 views and that's it.
Exactly. Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're neck deep in a dark, twisted tale. And just as the tension peaks, bam, a commercial about some miracle diet pill breaks the spell. It's like finding a fly in your soup after the first bite. But here's the fix. True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. You get to enjoy your crime stories without the junk. Ad-free episodes, extended interviews that go beyond the surface, and early access to all the gruesome details. It's like swapping out a can of cheap beer for a glass of fine whiskey. So search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and keep the darkness flowing uninterrupted.